Marxism, which is to give voice to the voiceless and hold those in power accountable.
WBAI, your community alternative.
And welcome in to WBAI 99.5 FM. My name is Tony Bates, and as you tune in to WBAI, we're going to do what we always do, and that's to look at some alternative perspectives this afternoon. We've put a pack together for you that we're calling the Ancient African History Pack, and included in that pack is A Great Mighty Walk by Dr. John Henry Clark. It includes the speech Black Men Wake Up by Dr. Yosef Ben-Yohanan. And it also includes the film Zeitgeist. And you might ask why it includes the film Zeitgeist. Well, that movie begins with a dissertation or a dissection of the biblical story that we've been told, and points out that many of those stories that we were told were found first in Egypt. Before they made their way into the churches on Sunday mornings and into the books that we read and the stories that we tell, that many of those stories were taken directly from ancient texts in Egypt. It's an interesting perspective, and this film, Zeitgeist, is not just about that. It's about our need to question wholly what we're told in education, what we're educated with, what we're taught in media, the perspectives that we're given. It reminds us that it's important that we do our own research and that we begin to search for ourselves. Now, this pack is going to be we've made this kind of really on the low end for everyone. It's three DVDs. It's over 6 hours of material, or it's about 6 hours of material, and it's going to be only a $125 pledge. It's a fantastic package. But many of the things, as I've begun to study deeply or more deeply the history of African peoples, of Black peoples around this planet, and more I am discovering that the stories that I've been told don't match the histories. They match the histories of the West, but when you go deeper into the African writings, you find that there are many records of ships leaving Africa and sailing to other places. And when we were told that Africans stayed on their continent and didn't really have any ships and couldn't figure out how to get off of their continent, we learned that there were possibly Black peoples here when Columbus arrived, and that he wrote that in his journals, that the Spanish explorers, the Italian explorers wrote the same thing as they traveled. The Portuguese explorers wrote the same things as they traveled throughout the Americas, that they encountered people that they described as Ethiopians, or that looked like Ethiopians here in the Americas. And so from my perspective, it's more and more imperative that we begin to look at what we were taught. I was talking earlier today during a program about medicine about the fact that doctors have begun to say that cholesterol might not really be the problem with our arteries, and that fats might not really be that bad for our bodies. And the point here is just that things change, and there is not as much of a big deal about the correction of the ideas as there is the teaching of the ideas. We find that these ideas are beaten into our brains by society. They will make films that reflect these teachings we've had. For instance, we talked about the film The Gods of Egypt, which bombed. Because there were bombed, I should say, there were no Black folks in it, and it's a country in Africa, and it just seems odd to me that that myth is still perpetuated to the tune of tens of millions of dollars they put money in to convince us that the Egyptians, that Egypt is somehow not a part of Africa for one thing, and that the folks there were not Black folks. All of these ideas have to be, and I'm not saying that they are or aren't. What I'm saying is that we have to do our own research and begin to challenge the ideas that we were taught as children, that we were taught as adults, that we were taught in college. Many of these things don't hold up to the light of scrutiny. And one of the things I like to remind people of when I'm on the air is, if you think of schooling as education, I say that when we got to school, in elementary school, from the very beginning, we walk into the classroom and there's a chart there, and the chart says there are four food groups that you must eat. It's you need meat every day, you need vegetables every day, you need fruit every day, and you need dairy every day. Wait a minute, what? You need dairy every day? You see, cow milk is made for baby cows. But from the time we are 5 years old, we are being conditioned to be a consumer of milk products. And so they start by telling us that it's necessary that we eat dairy every day. That's just an example of the kind of conditioning we encounter in our educations. But that's one that begins on the very first day of our schooling. And it is simply that. It's conditioning and programming us to be consumers. Because human beings never need cow's milk. And there are so many of these places. That's just a minor example for me. But there are so many of these places, these holes in our educations, that we have got to look at and question. And even the things that we hold dearly, regardless of what side of the aisle we're on, when it comes to history, the facts are the facts, and the not facts are the not facts. The fallacies remain fallacies, even if we've been taught them and accepted them. And so this pack kind of looked at some of those things and gives us a new perspective on where things came from. So much of what we have learned is Greek culture, for instance, a Greek teaching comes out of Africa. So much of what we've learned in our religions come straight out of Africa and can be shown in African proverbs and texts to be well in place hundreds to thousands of years before they appeared in other places. And it's time for us to go back and take a look. And that's what we're going to do this afternoon as we take a journey back and look at some ancient African history. And we're going to start with the film Zeitgeist. Remember, you can get this film for a pledge of just $55 at 516-620-3602 or by visiting gifttowbai.org. And now I'm going to make some of your heads hurt because this film challenges not only the history, but some of our closely held religious beliefs. It challenges them. But I want to point out again that if we're telling you things on WBAI that you already believe, then we're not teaching you. The point is for all of us that we have to challenge even what we hold dearly. And in that challenge, we may find that what we hold dearly is correct. But the challenge itself should not be an assault on your personal beliefs. So remember, call us at 516-620-3602, and we're going to learn about the role now that the sun plays in what we see as our history.
Back as 10,000 BC, history is abundant with carvings and writings reflecting people's respect and adoration for this object. And it is simple to understand why, as every morning the sun would rise, bringing vision, warmth, and security, saving man from the cold, blind, predator-filled darkness of night. Without it, the cultures understood the crops would not grow and life on the planet would not survive. These realities made the sun the most adorned object of all time. Likewise, they were also very aware of the stars. The tracking of the stars allowed them to recognize and anticipate events which occurred over long periods of time, such as eclipses and full moons. They in turn cataloged celestial groups into what we know today as constellations. This is the cross of the zodiac, one of the oldest conceptual images in human history. It reflects the sun as it figuratively passes through the 12 major constellations over the course of a year. It also reflects the 12 months of the year, the four seasons, and the solstices and equinoxes. The term zodiac relates to the fact that constellations were anthropomorphized, or personified, as figures or animals. In other words, the early civilizations did not just follow the sun and stars, they personified them with elaborate myths involving their movements and relationships. The sun, with its life-giving and saving qualities, was personified as a representative of the unseen creator or God. God's sun, the light of the world, the savior of humankind. Likewise, the 12 constellations represented places of travel for God's sun, and were identified by names usually representing elements of nature that happened during that period of time. For example, Aquarius, the water bearer, who brings the spring rains. This is Horus. He is the sun god of Egypt of around 3000 BC. He is the sun, anthropomorphized, and his life is a series of allegorical myths involving the sun's movement in the sky. From the ancient hieroglyphics in Egypt, we know much about the solar messiah. For instance, Horus, being the sun, or the light, had an enemy known as Set. And Set was the personification of the darkness, or night. And, metaphorically speaking, every morning Horus would win the battle against Set, while in the evening Set would conquer Horus and send him into the underworld. It is important to note that dark versus light, or good versus evil, is one of the most ubiquitous mythological dualities ever known, and is still expressed on many levels to this day. Broadly speaking, the story of Horus is as follows. Horus was born on December 25th of the Virgin Isis Mary. His birth was accompanied by a star in the east, which, in turn, three kings followed to locate and adorn the newborn savior. At the age of 12, he was a prodigal child teacher. At the age of 30, he was baptized by a figure known as Anup, and thus began his ministry. Horus had 12 disciples he traveled about with, performing miracles such as healing the sick and walking on water. Horus was known by many gestural names such as the Truth, the Light, God's Anointed Son, the Good Shepherd, the Lamb of God, and many others. After being betrayed by Typhon, Horus was crucified, buried for 3 days, and thus resurrected. These attributes of Horus, whether original or not, seem to permeate many cultures of the world, for many other gods are found to have the same general mythological structure. Attis of Phrygia, born of the Virgin Nana on December 25th, crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected. Krishna of India, born of the Virgin Devaki, with a star in the east signaling his coming. He performed miracles with his disciples, and upon his death, was resurrected. Dionysus of Greece, born of a virgin on December 25th, was a traveling teacher who performed miracles such as turning water into wine. He was referred to as the King of Kings, God's only begotten Son, the Alpha and Omega, and many others. And upon his death, he was resurrected. Mithra of Persia, born of a virgin on December 25th, he had 12 disciples and performed miracles, and upon his death was buried for 3 days and thus resurrected. He was also referred to as the Truth, the Light, and many others. Interestingly, the sacred day of worship of Mithra was Sunday. The fact of the matter is, there are numerous saviors from different periods from all over the world which subscribe to these general characteristics. The question remains, why these attributes? Why the virgin birth on December 25th? Why dead for 3 days and the inevitable resurrection? Why 12 disciples or followers? To find out, let's examine the most recent of the solar messiahs. Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary on December 25th in Bethlehem. His birth was announced by a star in the east, which three kings or magi followed to locate and adorn a new savior. He was a child teacher at 12. At the age of 30, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and thus began his ministry. Jesus had 12 disciples, which he traveled about with, performing miracles, such as healing the sick, walking on water, raising the dead. He was also known as the King of Kings, the Son of God, the Light of the World, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of God, and many, many others. After being betrayed by his disciple Judas and sold for 30 pieces of silver, he was crucified, placed in a tomb, and after 3 days was resurrected and ascended into heaven. First of all, the birth sequence is completely astrological. The star in the east is Sirius, the brightest star in the night sky, which, on December 24th, aligns with the three brightest stars in Orion's belt. These three bright stars in Orion's belt are called today what they were called in ancient times, the Three Kings. And the Three Kings and the brightest star, Sirius, all point to the place of the sunrise on December 25th. This is why the Three Kings follow the star in the east, in order to locate the sunrise, the birth of the sun. The Virgin Mary is the constellation Virgo, also known as Virgo the Virgin. Virgo in Latin means virgin. The ancient glyph for Virgo is the altered M. This is why Mary, along with other virgin mothers, such as Adonis' mother Myra, or Buddha's mother Maya, begin with an M. Virgo is also referred to as the house of bread, and the representation of Virgo is a virgin holding a sheaf of wheat. This house of bread and its symbol of wheat represents August and September, the time of harvest. In turn, Bethlehem, in fact, literally translates to house of bread. Bethlehem is thus a reference to the constellation Virgo, a place in the sky, not on earth. There's another very interesting phenomenon that occurs around December 25th, or the winter solstice. From the summer solstice to the winter solstice, the days become shorter and colder. And from the perspective of the northern hemisphere, the sun appears to move south and get smaller and more scarce. The shortening of the days and the expiration of the crops when approaching the winter solstice symbolized the process of death to the ancients. It was the death of the sun. And by December 22nd, the sun's demise was fully realized. For the sun, having moved south continually for 6 months, makes it to its lowest point in the sky. Here a curious thing occurs. The sun stops moving south, at least perceivably, for 3 days. And during this 3-day pause, the sun resides in the vicinity of the Southern Cross, or Crux, constellation. And after this time, on December 25th, the sun moves 1 degree, this time north, foreshadowing longer days, warmth, and spring. And thus it was said, the sun died on the cross, was dead for 3 days, only to be resurrected or born again. This is why Jesus and numerous other sun gods share the crucifixion, 3-day death, and resurrection concept. It is the sun's transition period before it shifts its direction back into the northern hemisphere, bringing spring and thus salvation. However, they did not celebrate the resurrection of the sun until the spring equinox, or Easter. This is because at the spring equinox, the sun officially overpowers the evil darkness, as daytime thereafter becomes longer in duration than the night, and the revitalizing conditions of spring emerge. Now, probably the most obvious of all the astrological symbolism around Jesus regards the 12 disciples. They are simply the 12 constellations of the zodiac.
And welcome back. That's the film Zeitgeist, the movie, and that already is challenging. And again, as I said at the top of this hour, if we're not challenging you, if we're saying the same thing to you, we're not doing our jobs. And so when I came across this material, I thought to myself, how could this be? I mean, I grew up in a good Southern home with a grandmother who I went to church with and a father who insisted that I did so. And that's not what I was taught. I thought it different. It challenged me greatly, I have to say. And I didn't buy it. So I started to do a little research to see what this guy was talking about, these claims he was making about these allegories of the sun in comparison to the stories that I'd been taught as a child. And sure enough, I began to be able to locate some of these things. And, you know, this isn't a perfect documentary with all of the information necessarily, but it's a starting point for you to begin to research for yourself and find out if what we've been taught is true. And so what we've put together again for you folks is a fantastic pack. It's the African History Pack. It's Zeitgeist, the movie. It is A Great and Mighty Walk by Dr. John Henry Clark. And it's also Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben. All three of those for a pledge of $125 to WBAI. Get on the phone now at 516-620-3602 and get all three. It's like 6 hours worth of information for $125. It's certainly worth your pledge of support to this station. And because at a time where people are beginning to challenge what they see on television, challenge what they have been taught in history, and challenge mainstream memes in general, this is a beginning point for that. And it was for me, just to start to ask those questions. We learn later in this film that these stories can be seen otherwheres in places like the Egyptian Book of the Dead. that many of the, there were more commandments than the 10 given in the original story, for instance. And we're going to go into some of that with Dr. Ben in our next piece. But right now, this piece, Zeitgeist, should be shocking you like it shocked me. And it's available for your pledge of $125. 516-620-3602. It's actually available by itself for a pledge of $55. But my suggestion is it's a real gift to get all three of these items, just about 6 hours worth of material for your pledge of $125 to WBAI. 516-620-3602. Now, who knew that there were other gods? Zoroaster, the blue guy over in India, several of these who have the same aspects, Mithra, who have the same aspects as our God, born on December 25th, died for 3 days and came back, and walked around with disciples, healed the sick, and raised the dead. But in fact, it appears that these correlate with the sun as well, and that they are astronomical in nature. Those corollaries are laid out for you in this film. 516-620-3602, a pledge of $125. And it's just the beginning of it. It's going to blow your mind. We're going to get deeper and deeper into this documentary. But before we do, we've got to get five more of you on the line now. Let's do that. 516-620-3602. Just five people pledging at the $125 level. We accept your Visa card. We accept your MasterCard. We accept your Discover card. We accept your American Express card. Don't forget, you can always become a BAI buddy by pledging just $10 a month on your credit card or from your bank account and giving us $120 per year. But take the time right now. This documentary is going to get deeper. Don't wait till the last minute. There is plenty here to wrap your brain around and to understand. When you see these corollaries around the world of the same kind of deities with the same aspects, born on the same day, you have to ask yourself the question, is this all there is to know? Is the story that I have, even the original story? We're going to lay it out for you, but we want you to make that decision for yourself. We know that we don't have to think for you because you're intelligent folk out there. 516-620-3602. Join those calling right now. Can we get that final caller on the line right now? 516-620-3602. A pledge of $125 for all three of the DVDs. It's Zeitgeist the Movie, it's Black Man Wake Up, and it's A Great and Mighty Walk by John Henry Clarke, which is a really, really well-produced, amazing, amazing documentary about our trip from Africa to the islands, to the mainland, and that Middle Passage journey, and our triumph since we've arrived here. It's a great piece, produced and narrated by Wesley Snipes. All of those available for a pledge of just $125. Now, normally, we'd offer just that one to you for $100. But today, we've put together a special package, and we want to put all three of them in your hands so you can begin to look back and see if your history is real history. 516-620-3602. We're still waiting for that final caller, 516-620-3602, to pledge at the $125 level. And then we're going to go right back to more from Zeitgeist. But it's important, folks, that you pick up the phone, make your pledge of support, or visit givetowbai.org and get the African History Pack. 516-620-3602. And now we're going to get back to the sun and hear about the constellations and the 12 disciples.
Most obvious of all the astrological symbolism around Jesus regards the 12 disciples. They are simply the 12 constellations of the zodiac, which Jesus, being the sun, travels about with. In fact, the number 12 is replete throughout the Bible. This text has more to do with astrology than anything else. Coming back to the cross of the zodiac, the figurative life of the sun, this was not just an artistic expression or tool to track the sun's movement. It was also a pagan spiritual symbol, the shorthand of which looked like this. This is not a symbol of Christianity. It is a pagan adaptation of the cross of the zodiac. This is why Jesus in early occult art is always shown with his head on the cross, for Jesus is the Son of God, the light of the world, the risen Savior, who will come again, as it does every morning, the glory of God, who defends against the works of darkness, as he is born again every morning, and can be seen coming in the clouds, up in heaven, with his crown of thorns or sun rays. Now, of the many astrological, astronomical metaphors in the Bible, one of the most important has to do with the ages. Throughout the scriptures, there are numerous references to the age. In order to understand this, we need to be familiar with a phenomenon known as the precession of the equinoxes. The ancient Egyptians, along with cultures long before them, recognized that approximately every 2150 years, the sunrise on the morning of the spring equinox would occur in a different sign of the zodiac. This has to do with a slow, angular wobble that the Earth maintains as it rotates on its axis. It is called a precession because the constellations go backwards rather than through the normal yearly cycle. The amount of time it takes for the precession to go through all 12 signs is roughly 25,765 years. This is also called the Great Year, and ancient societies were very aware of this, and they referred to each 2150-year period as an age. From 4300 BC to 2150 BC, it was the age of Taurus, the bull. From 2150 BC to 1 AD, it was the age of Aries, the ram. And from 1 AD to 2150 AD, it is the age of Pisces, the age we are still in to this day. And in and around 2150, we will enter the new age, the age of Aquarius. Now, the Bible reflects, broadly speaking, a symbolic movement through three ages while foreshadowing a fourth. In the Old Testament, when Moses comes down Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, he is very upset to see his people worshiping a golden bull calf. In fact, he shattered the stone tablets and instructed his people to kill each other in order to purify themselves. Most biblical scholars will attribute this anger to the fact that the Israelites were worshiping a false idol or something to that effect. The reality is, the golden bull is Taurus the bull, and Moses represents the new age of Aries the ram. This is why Jews even today still blow the ram's horn. Moses represents the new age of Aries, and upon the new age, everyone must shed the old age. Other deities mark these transitions as well, such as Mithra, a pre-Christian god who kills the bull in the same symbology. Now Jesus is the figure who ushers in the age following Aries, the age of Pisces, or the two fish. Fish symbolism is very abundant in the New Testament. Jesus feeds 5,000 people with bread and two fish. When he begins his ministry walking along Galilee, he befriends two fishermen who follow him. And I think we have all seen the Jesus fish on the back of people's cars. Little do they know what it actually means. It is a pagan astrological symbolism for the sun's kingdom during the age of Pisces. Also, Jesus' assumed birth date is essentially the start of this age. At Luke 22:10, when Jesus is asked by his disciples where the next Passover will be after he is gone, Jesus replies, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in." This scripture is by far one of the most revealing of all the astrological references. The man bearing the pitcher of water is Aquarius, the water bearer, who is always pictured as a man pouring out a pitcher of water. He represents the age after Pisces, And when the Son, God's Son, leaves the age of Pisces, Jesus, it will go into the house of Aquarius, as Aquarius follows Pisces in the procession of the equinoxes. All Jesus is saying is that after the age of Pisces will come the age of Aquarius. Now, we have all heard...
Wow. Now, that's different than anything I was ever taught in my life. 516-620-3602. That's a clip from the film Zeitgeist. And it takes this story that I've been taught my entire life and connects it to astrology and astronomy. And this was a new perspective for me when I came into this material. And again, it sent me off literally to the library to do research, because I couldn't accept what he was saying, nor did I believe it. And nor do I expect you to believe it, but I expect you to research it for yourself. And we're going to help you do that by offering this film to you for the pledge level of $55. The phone number to call is 516-620-3602, or call and pledge for $125 and get the ancient, or rather the African history pack. And that includes the film Zeitgeist. It includes A Great and Mighty Walk by John Henry Clarke. And it includes Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben. 516-620-3602. Please give us a call right now and pledge at that $125 level. And have you thought of it in this way before? That when Jesus was saying, come to the end of the age, that there will be a man carrying a pitcher of water, he was referring to the sign of Aquarius. Well, you know, you get to make that decision for yourself. But take this documentary, look at it. Now, this film isn't just about this subject matter. It's a film that questions our society in general. The second part of the film questions our banking system. The third part of the film questions the stories and mythologies around 9/11. This film is included because of this aspect specifically, this knowledge that we know appears, as he mentioned, in Egypt first, but recurs around the globe with the same aspects. And from the perspective of this filmmaker, those aspects are astronomical, literally. 516-620-3602, a $125 pledge of support to WBAI for the African History Pack. If you want to get just that film, it's a $55 pledge to WBAI. You can find that online at give2wbai.org. That's give, the numeral 2, wbai.org. Make that pledge. Decide to make WBAI your station today, not just by talking about it, but by doing your part and literally pledging your support by giving us your support in the form of finance. 516-620-3602. Just a $125 pledge on your Discover card, on your Visa card, on your American Express card, on your MasterCard, whichever you choose. But do pick up the phone, dial 516-620-3602 and make that pledge of support. I don't get to be on these airwaves doing this unless you pick up the phone and make that call. And it's imperative, folks, that we challenge everything that we believe. As I see more and more, I mean, how many of us were Hillary supporters at some point and have heard Bernie point out so many inconsistencies in her story that we've had to challenge ourselves? How many of us believed that Columbus once discovered America and have had to challenge that? How many of us have been taught so many, miseducated so badly and taught fallacies that we've had to learn on our own? And sometimes I bring up subjects to people and they say, I know that. You didn't know that? Go, you've been on this before me. But because we have a station like WBAI, we get to hear on these very airwaves challenges to our very own personally held beliefs. And there's nothing wrong with looking a little further. Maybe your opinion doesn't change. Maybe it stays the same. But the challenge is the important part. And you can do that by getting this documentary, Zeitgeist, the movie, at 516-620-3602. Please make a phone call of support to WBAI now, and we're going to get back to this film because it's really very powerful in general. But remember, for a pledge of $125, we're sending you about 6 hours of material that will send you off to the library. But the second part of this pack is Dr. John Henry Clarke's A Great and Mighty Walk, a beautifully produced piece about the journey from Africa to the Americas. And there is also Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben. All of those for a pledge of $125. Powerful pieces. And a look back at our history as it was, not as it was put together by our teachers, but as it's been put together by researchers and scholars who have a different perspective. 516-620-3602. We go back to the film Zeitgeist, the movie.
Now, we have all heard about the end times and the end of the world. The cartoonish depictions in the book of Revelation aside, the main source of this idea comes from Matthew 28:20, where Jesus says, "I will be with you even to the end of the world." However, in the King James Version, "world" is a mistranslation, among many mistranslations. The actual word being used is eon, which means age. I will be with you even to the end of the age, which is true, as Jesus' solar Piscean personification will end when the sun enters the age of Aquarius. The entire concept of end times and the end of the world is a misinterpreted astrological allegory. Let's tell that to the approximately 100 million people in America who believe the end of the world is coming. Furthermore, the character of Jesus being a literary and astrological hybrid is most explicitly a plagiarization of the Egyptian sun god Horus. For example, inscribed about 3,500 years ago on the walls at the Temple of Luxor in Egypt are images of the Annunciation, the Immaculate Conception, the birth, and the adoration of Horus. The images begin with Thoth announcing to the virgin Isis that she will conceive Horus, then Neph, the Holy Ghost, impregnating the virgin, and then the virgin birth and the adoration. This is exactly the story of Jesus' miracle conception. In fact, the literary similarities between the Egyptian religion and the Christian religion are staggering. And the plagiarism is continuous. The story of Noah and Noah's Ark is taken directly from tradition. The concept of the Great Flood is ubiquitous throughout the ancient world, with over 200 cited claims in different periods and times. However, one need look no further for a pre-Christian source than the Epic of Gilgamesh, written in 2600 BC. This story talks of a great flood commanded by God, an ark with saved animals upon it, and even the release and return of a dove, all held in common with the biblical story, among many other similarities. And then there is the plagiarized story of Moses. Upon Moses' birth, it is said that he was placed in a reed basket and set adrift in a river in order to avoid infanticide. He was later rescued by a daughter of royalty and raised by her as a prince. This baby in a basket story was lifted directly from the myth of Sargon of Akkad of around 2250 BC. Sargon was born, placed in a reed basket in order to avoid infanticide, and set adrift in a river. He was in turn rescued and raised by Aki, a royal midwife. Furthermore, Moses is known as the lawgiver, the giver of the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law. However, the idea of a law being passed from God to a prophet up on a mountain is also a very old motif. Moses is just another lawgiver in a long line of lawgivers in mythological history. In India, Manu was the great lawgiver. In Crete, Minos ascended Mount Dicta, where Zeus gave him the sacred laws. While in Egypt, there was Mises, who carried stone tablets and upon them the laws of God were written. Manu, Minos, Mises, Moses. And as far as the Ten Commandments, they are taken outright from spell 125 in the Egyptian Book of the Dead. What the Book of the Dead phrased, "I have not stolen," became "thou shalt not steal." "I have not killed" became "thou shalt not kill." "I have not told lies" became "thou shalt not bear false witness," and so forth. In fact, the Egyptian religion is likely the primary foundational basis for the Judeo-Christian theology. Baptism, afterlife, final judgment, virgin birth, death and resurrection, crucifixion, the Ark of the Covenant, circumcision, saviors, Holy Communion, Great Flood, Easter, Christmas, Passover, and many, many more are all attributes of Egyptian ideas long predating Christianity and Judaism. One of the first Christian historians and defenders wrote, "When we say that he, Jesus Christ, our teacher, was produced without sexual union, was crucified and died and rose again, and ascended into heaven, we propound nothing different from what you believe regarding those who you esteem sons of Jupiter." In a different writing, Justin Martyr said, "He was born of a virgin. Accept this in common with what you believe of Perseus." It's obvious that Justin and other early Christians knew how similar Christianity was to the pagan religions. However, Justin had a solution. As far as he was concerned, the devil did it. The devil had the foresight to come before Christ and create his characteristics in the pagan world.
Fundamentalist Christianity, fascinating. These people actually believe the world is 12,000 years old. I swear to God. I actually asked one of these guys, okay, dinosaur fossils. He says, dinosaur fossils, God put those here to test our faith.
And I believe if we let that clip keep going, it's going to test the FCC, so we don't want to do that. But he basically says, God put those here to test my faith. And he said, you're testing my faith by bringing that up. But those facts that you just heard are very interesting, folks. It's a lot to take in at one time. 516-620-3602 is the phone number to call to make a pledge for just $125. We're going to send you all three of these DVDs in the African History Pack. You heard in that clip, these memes, these ideas, including the Ten Commandments, including the idea of Moses, originate in Egypt. They can be found written on the walls, the birth, the adoration, the annunciation. The entire process was related to Horus originally on the walls in Egypt. And yet we've been given this story and told that it's Jesus. And you heard even in the early Christian days, they compared the same aspects to Perseus and to the sons of Jupiter. In other words, those aspects of pagan religion were being included in the new burgeoning religion. That's at least the assertion of the filmmakers of Zeitgeist, the movie. And you can get a copy of this movie yourself and look at this at the pledge level of $55. But what we're encouraging you to do is to get three DVDs, not just one, for a pledge of $125. And it includes this film, Zeitgeist the Movie. It includes A Great and Mighty Walk by John Henry Clarke. And it includes Black Man Wake Up by Dr. Ben, which we're going to get to some clips from in a short while. But before we do that, we need you on the phone lines pledging. We need five people right now. We're going to go back to just a few more minutes of this piece, but we're going to spend another few minutes getting you on the line first. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. About 6 hours of information coming out to you that will rattle your head, that will shake your brain, that will challenge many of your beliefs like it did mine. How is it that a being named Thoth announced to Isis that she was having a baby, and yet in our scripture, an angel comes down and announces to Mary in the same way? They seem to correlate to me. The baby is born of a virgin birth. In the Egyptian mythology, she's impregnated by the Holy Spirit. In our mythology, she's impregnated by the Holy Spirit. All of these corollaries give us pause and reason to look further into what we've been told and what we believe in this film. Zeitgeist, the movie, is about just that, challenging the mainstream. It starts off with a look at religion. It moves on to our banking system and then goes into 9/11 to question many of the myths surrounding that. However, we've got a whole pack for you at the pledge level of $125. It's Dr. John Henry Clarke's A Great and Mighty Walk. It is about the journey from Africa to the Americas. And also we've included Dr. Ben's Black Man Wake Up, where he goes into some of these points too, about some of that history being Egyptian and also being found now in a different form here. These stories can be traced back in some cases to thousands of years before they appear in the West. 516-620-3602. We're going to go back to just a few more minutes of this film, and then we're going to get, hopefully, all of you to give us a call at 516-620-3602. You can't go wrong with this pledge. 6 hours of material for just a pledge of $125. You're supporting the greatest radio station in the tri-state area. That's WBAI, your Pacifica station, 99.5 FM.
The Bible is nothing more than an astro-theological literary hybrid, just like nearly all religious myths before it. In fact, the aspect of transference of one character's attributes to a new character can be found within the book itself. In the Old Testament, there is the story of Joseph. Joseph was a prototype for Jesus. Joseph was born of a miracle birth. Jesus was born of a miracle birth. Joseph was of 12 brothers. Jesus had 12 disciples. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Brother Judah suggests the sale of Joseph. Disciple Judas suggests the sale of Jesus. Joseph began his work at the age of 30. Jesus began his work at the age of 30. The parallels go on and on. Furthermore, is there any non-biblical historical evidence of any person living with the name Jesus, the son of Mary, who traveled about with 12 followers, healing people and the like? There are numerous historians who lived in and around the Mediterranean, either during or soon after the assumed life of Jesus. How many of these historians document this figure? Not one. However, to be fair, that doesn't mean defenders of the historical Jesus haven't claimed the contrary. Four historians are typically referenced to justify Jesus' existence. Pliny the Younger, Suetonius, and Tacitus are the first three. Each one of their entries consists of only a few sentences at best, and only referred to Christus or the Christ, which in fact is not a name but a title. It means the Anointed One. The fourth source is Josephus, and this source has been proven to be a forgery for hundreds of years. Sadly, it is still cited as truth. You would think that a guy who rose from the dead and ascended into heaven for all eyes to see and performed the wealth of miracles acclaimed to him would have made it into the historical record. It didn't, because once the evidence is weighed, there are very high odds that the figure known as Jesus did not even exist.
And we're going to have to leave it there for now. 516-620-3602. If your interest has been piqued, please join those people on the line right now and pledge at that $125 level for all three of these DVDs. We're calling it the African History Pack because what we have discovered is that these stories that we've been taught our entire lives are found most recently in Egypt. The attributes contributed to or attributed to Jesus are also those of Horus. But not just Horus, around different cultures. Mithra, we find, has similar aspects. We find that Abraham and Brahma, whose names are spelled similarly, have interesting similarities and aspects. And the comparisons go on and on and on. I'm not saying that any of this is factual, only that we need to challenge it and look deeper for ourselves. 516-620-3602. That is the phone number to call to make that $125 pledge of support. Take out your American Express card, take out your MasterCard, take out your Discover card, take out your Visa card, and dial that number. When you reach the volunteers, tell them you want to get the African History Pack. That's at 516-620-3602. Your pledge, every pledge counts. You may be a person who can pledge at the $500 level. You may be a person who can pledge at that $1,000 level just to say thank you that WBAI remains a voice of free speech in this city. That WBAI remains a place where we can challenge even our own, because it's necessary to do that. And as I said at the top of the hour, if we're not challenging you, we're not doing our jobs. 516-620-3602. The film is Zeitgeist, the movie. It makes the claim in its first part that these stories of Jesus are allegories or at least borrowed from previous histories and particularly from Egyptian stories. Horus had many of the same aspects. 516-620-3602. It's not for me to decide, and it's not for me to make the decision for you, but it is for you to look at this information and to go deeper and deeper and deeper and discover for yourself if these corollaries really are there in the record. 516-620-3602. I've been at this network for some time now, and I remain amazed at the ability for us to impact audiences, but also to challenge. I don't know that Bernie Sanders would even have reached the heights that he's reached without the folks at Pacifica having championed him forever. Most people didn't even know who Bernie Sanders was when the presidential elections began. But those of you who listen to this station certainly knew who he was and knew of his policies and his voting records, because that's what we do here. The mainstream is itself. They've got their own thing going. This is what we do. We're Pacifica Radio. We challenge it, and we challenge it right down to our own earliest beliefs. And it is our duty to do that for you and for us. 516-620-3602. I guarantee you there are people that work at this station who would not prefer that we have this on the air. There are people that listen who wouldn't prefer it. But that's why we're free speech radio. We don't all have to agree with each other. We're allowed to have different perspectives. We're allowed to support Hillary or Bernie, even Trump in some cases, I imagine. I haven't met those people around here yet. And when I do, I will expose them on the air. But the point is, it's free speech radio. That was a joke. I will not expose anyone on the air. People can vote for whomever they want. But the point is this. This is an outlet for a multiplicity of ideas and voices, and it only stays this way because of your pledges of support at 516-620-3602. We've been doing this for 50 plus years, and there have been some real victories in our history. And of course, you know that about the setbacks, which people like to talk about all the time. But we've done great things at this radio station. We have a great history here. And it's because of you, our listeners, who have supported us with your finances and dollars over these 50 plus years. And that must continue as well. So please pick up the phone now. Dial us at 516-620-3602. Ask for the African History Pack. It's going to be three DVDs, not talks, three DVDs. The first one is Zeitgeist, the movie, and it challenges our religious system. It challenges our banking system, and it challenges the mythology around 9/11. We're going to next look at A Great and Mighty Walk, which is John Henry Clark's piece. Wesley Snipes produced a really beautiful piece about the journey from Africa to the Americas. And following that, we've got a piece we're going to go into in the next hour, which Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash brought to the station. It's Dr. Ben's Black Man Wake Up. All of that goes into history and from a different perspective. I can't wait to share what Dr. Ben has to say with you, too. This is a very powerful package. I want you to have it in your hands. I want you to have it in front of your students. I want you to have it in front of your children. Remake or just erase the nonsense they're being taught at school, or at least give them an option to choose from, an educated option. 516-620-3602. That's the phone number to call, folks. We've only got 5 minutes left in this hour, and we've got to step it up a bit. We need those phone lines to ring and ring and ring. And I know that there are enough people listening in the sound of my voice that we can get these phones ringing. If you want just Zeitgeist, the movie, you can get that at the pledge level of $55. And you can see that at give2wbai.org. Again, that's give, the numeral 2, WBAI.org. Pledge there, but every pledge of support counts. If you know how far we have to stretch dollars here, it costs money to be in this building. It costs money to have electricity. It costs money to pay the very few staff members that are left here at WBAI. Believe me, they're not throwing your money in that direction. There are only a couple of people here that get paid. But the microphones have to be in working condition. Grayson Challenger, our engineer, is walking around here right now donating his time to make sure that the equipment in this studio is working. He is no longer on the staff here, but he comes in here and he makes sure that WBAI is on the air because he respects this outlet and appreciates what it means to have a 99.5 FM in your city. And folks, there are only five of these stations. You have one of them. You must support that. Again, the African History Pack, a pledge of $125, 516-620-3602. I'd like to see another 20 callers in this last 5 minutes pledging at that $125 level. Can we make that happen? Let's start with the first five of you now at 516-620-3602. $125 is a very small amount for the amount of information that you're going to receive in these documentaries. Dr. Ben's talk alone is over 2 hours long. You get A Great and Mighty Walk by John Henry Clark. Again, beautifully, beautifully produced. A lovely documentary. And also Zeitgeist, the movie. We're going to get all of those to you, but only when you dial us at 516-620-3602. Was I shocked when I heard these claims? Yes. Did I go and research them and discover that indeed some of them were on the money? Yes. But I wasn't able to do that until I was exposed to the information. It's why you call us a university on the air, because we will bring you perspectives that differ from all of those you've heard in your histories, in your mainstream media, and in your schooling. 516-620-3602. That's the phone number. The pledge is $125. We need another 20 people, as I said. It's not quite 20 at this point, but we still need about another 15 of you to get on the line in this last 4 minutes of the hour to make a pledge to say that you believe in WBAI, that you're going to keep this station moving forward. It's 516-620-3602. Just $125. Make that pledge of support to this station. And we're going to send you out all of those documentaries. In the next hour, as I said, we're going to hear from Dr. Ben. And again, powerful, powerful information. But that will be available for you to explore in your own home in detail, as this documentary will be. But first, you've got to pick up the phone and do your part. We will again accept your American Express. We will accept your MasterCard, Visa, Discover. You can visit WBAI or give to WBAI.org and make a pledge. But it is you, it is your responsibility. Please make that pledge of support. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Yo, this is Michael Franti from Spearhead, and you're listening to non-commercial radio in New York. WBAI is the place to turn to.
Peace. Oh my God. Yeah, my mother got to sleep in suicide singing, oh my God. My God, and my mother got a sleeping genocide singing, oh my God, and my mother got a sleeping suicide singing, oh my God, oh my God.
And we are back, and I just want to, my name is Tony Bates. As you know, you're listening to WBAI at 602 in New York City on your drive home, and I hope that you were intrigued by the first hour of the program. But also, I'm glad, I want to express my gratitude that Big Mama can't hear me saying what I said on the air in the last hour. When I got home, I would at least get knocked in the head, or if Grandma Bessie heard me, it would be a stick, I'm sure of it, me running around saying stuff like that. But it's all just a question. So in the next portion of our pack, we're offering you this hour, the African History Pack, as we've dubbed it. We're looking at histories which we've been taught come from somewhere else, but seem to come from Africa. And Dr. Ben, in this talk, is going to touch on a little bit of the same subjects about who we were told people are, or where we were told histories come from, and where they really come from. Now, Dr. Ben, as he's generally referred to, was an Afrocentric scholar. He's from the Caribbean, which, again, I really appreciate being here in this city, that we get exposed to these scholars in such great number. But he was educated around the world, and he talks about that a little bit in this presentation. And so his education took him on a different path than the regular Western education. And he began to learn, for instance, he was educated in Spain and saw histories of black peoples that he'd never been exposed to in the Americas. He was educated in Ethiopia, where he came in contact with other histories that he had not been exposed to in the West. And so the journey took him to a place where he began to discover that there was a much deeper history for black and African peoples than we'd ever been told. And that many of the stories that we'd been taught of as history were in fact our stories with different names or faces put on them. I'm going to let him tell you all about it. He's a part of this pack for a pledge of $120. Remember, it is your job, in fact, to call us and support this station at 516-620-3602. Our job is to bring you intriguing programming and challenging programming, and we're doing that. We want you to also do your part, and that's the part of supporting this radio station. So we're going to go deeper. Again, the pledge level is $125. I want you to have this stuff in your hands. Because I do research on my own quite a bit, and the more I research on my own, the more Dr. Ben makes sense, the more Dr. John Henrik Clark makes sense, the more many of these scholars who the mainstream have pushed aside, because not only because they're black, but because they empower black people. They empower black people by restoring our history to what it is. They challenge the major myths of the West, the myths of the African staying in Africa and being landlocked. They challenge the myths of who was here when Columbus arrived. They've taken me on a journey, or they started some of the journey, in fact, but it's taken me on a journey to really look at world history differently, to look at African history differently, and to look at my own history differently, and to really be empowered. And from my personal perspective, were black children exposed to these ideas and histories in mass, it would change who we are as a people in the West, at least, when we were restored to our greatness and the truth of who we are, discoveries in medicine and math and all of the great sciences. Those have simply been stolen with the pen rather than the sword. It is true that the pen is mightier than the sword, because history as we know it has simply been rewritten. Dr. Ben is going to challenge some of you right now in his talk, Black Man, Wake Up. It's another DVD in the African History Pack. All three of them include Zeitgeist the Movie, Dr. Ben's Black Man Wake Up, and John Henrik Clark's Great and Mighty Walk. Please call us at 516-620-3602 and make your pledge of support while we listen to Dr. Ben.
Within the context of my education, if you could call it that, I would prefer to call it the course of my indoctrination, my training, which started in Ethiopia, East Africa, and continued in Brazil, Cuba, Puerto Rico, the United States, Virgin Islands, England, and Spain. Been around a few places. And in all of these places that I've been, I never once received an education in the history of African people. Yet I thought that I've educated myself down through those period of time. And it is because of that self-education in those things which meant most to me as an African person, that I decided at no time would I stand still in these halls of indoctrination and not rebel with the necessary documentation of the lies that are being taught in these halls. And so I may be saying things that may hurt many of you, if not most of you, because some of the lies have become your dear frame of reference. We could start with the Greeks. I hope you of fraternities and sororities don't get too bothered about it, since the Greeks weren't too much anyhow. But we can start with that, because there is where our institutions of learning has decided to start civilization. Yet the Greeks are only here from at least 1,000 before the common era, or before the Christian era, as you would prefer to say. Let us just, for example, cite one. And that particular person would be Hippocrates. And I'm sure that you heard of Hippocrates. And when you consider that Hippocrates wasn't born until 333 BC, or before the common era, yet in your education you were told that Hippocrates is the father of medicine. That's a lie. There's no way that I can say about it other than it's a lie. A lie is a lie, whether it's in the university or in the church. How could Hippocrates be the father of medicine when the first time you see him, he is in Egypt learning medicine from Africans? There are numerous papyri, medical papyri, on medicine. The nearest to Hippocrates is at least 1,300 years before he was born. For example, we have what is known as the Hetas Papyrus, the Evers Papyrus, and now the so-called Rockefeller Papyrus, the Edwin C. Smith Papyrus. All of these papyri go back to as early as 3100 BC. The man who Hippocrates took an oath that he would practice medicine according to this man, this African, whom the Greeks call Aesculapius, in the Hippocratic Oath, a man by the name of Imhotep, died. He practiced medicine and died 2,500 years before the birth of Hippocrates. And you are telling me that the medical school and the pre-medical historians don't know this? They don't know it because, unfortunately, Imhotep had a high visibility like myself, otherwise called black. They don't know that the Ebers Papyrus by Hatshepsut, dealing with Planned Parenthood, I said Planned Parenthood, 1,550 years before the birth of Jesus the Christ, is out there, when every medical journal in 1961 published copies of the Ebers Papyrus. And we could go on with the papyri with respect to all kinds of diseases that the Africans had produced, both in Egypt and Ethiopia and Sudan and a place then called Pointit, now called Somalia. But that would be satisfactory. But let us take the kind of education that we do have. We are in a chapel, and we have been told about an immaculate conception and virgin birth. We have been told about the beginning of the world with Adam and Eve. We have been told about a man by the name of Cain, who slew his brother Abel. And we've been told that all of these things only happen once. And they go back to the Old Testament, or otherwise called the Torah, or the Pentateuch, or the Kumish. Those are names for what you call the Old Testament. But we have never been told that they are only copies of stories that predated them by thousands of years. Let us put them one by one. I heard some hmms and everything already. Oh yes, you have been told a lot of lies. No other way to talk about it. And those who teach them, if in fact they did any research, must know they are lies. That is providing that they have never gone to Egypt or to Ethiopia or to Sudan to see the living proof. The writings on the tombs, the writings in the pyramids, what is called the pyramid text and the coffin text. That is providing that they have not seen the holy scriptures of the Africans of the Nile Valley, otherwise called the Egyptian Book of the Dead, or as Budge called it in his translation of the Hieratic writing, or the Egyptian Book of the Coming Forth by Day and by Night. In the temple of Setaiwan, for example, at a place called Abydos, not only is there the writings of an immaculate conception 4,000 years before the story of Mary, but it is there in picture form. Are we to say that the theologians of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam have never once taken a trip to Egypt, from whence these things were taken? In that same temple, you see a story of how Ctesiphon murdered his brother Osiris. 2,000 years before the Jewish story of Cain and Abel. And we are told that an African from Egypt by the name of Moses, born in the city of Goshen, that's still Egypt. Egypt is in Africa, by the way, the last time I saw it in January. You heard of a place called Middle East? I don't know of any place called Middle East. That's political jingoism. But we can find that there was no Moses on Mount Horeb in the Sinai to receive any Ten Commandments that had not been given before or written before in Egypt, because you could go in the Book of the Coming Forth by Day and by Night, the Book of the Dead, and see in what is called the Osirian drama, not only those 10, but 32 more, a total of 42, which you can also go in the temple of Ramesses VI in the Valley of the Kings, across what is today called Luxor. And in that tomb, you would see the 42 listed commandments, or otherwise negative confession, 2,000 years before the birth of Moses. But they told you that Moses was taught. He was an Egyptian, taught in school in Egypt, and became a priest in the system. Could you have been born in the United States of America, went to kindergarten, then elementary school, junior high school, and never heard of the United States Constitution? It was equally impossible for Moses to have born in Egypt, go to school in Egypt, study in an Egyptian system, worship God Amun-Ra, and never once heard of the 42 negative confession, which have in it, thou shalt not kill. I have not killed man or woman. I have not made like that bushel. I have not. Moses himself is charged with murder. His brother Aaron is charged with theft. 40 years before they reached Mount Sinai. Then somebody had a law against theft and against murder before he reached Mount Sinai. Where did they get it? But you weren't taught anything about this. All of this information have been suppressed at a place called the Council of Jamia and the Council of Nicene in 325 AD, when Constantine the Roman Emperor conquered North Africa, took over the role of the Christian church, which started in Alexandria with Pantheus and Boethius, not in Rome. But this too you have not been taught. You have not been taught that the three people who died first in the name of Jesus the Christ were three African women. Felicita, Nymphano, and Perpetua. Yet you know everything, you're born again. You know it all. You can't be blamed for it. Even your teachers may not be able to be blamed for this, because one can't teach what one doesn't know, or one have not learned, or one have not experienced, because there is no interest for people to go to Egypt to see anything but to go to the Holy Land. And that's why Jesse is tied and had to get on his knees and pray and beg forgiveness. He was scared he wouldn't be able to get back in the Holy Land for saying what was right. But there's more than that. Because you have been told that unless Europeans teach you, you haven't been taught. But who told you that the first university built in all of Europe was built by Africans called Moors? At the university, what is called the University of Salamanca in Spain. Check it out. Europe's first university. Not only the stones were put together like the stones in most of the building and the bricks in most of the building here. I'm not talking about that aspect of only the building. I'm talking about the educational system is nothing but a copy of the University of Jenne, D-J-E-N-N-E, of ancient Ghana, which was burnt down and rebuilt as the University of Sankore in the city of Tumbuk, which the French later called Timbuktu. Then carried, as the Africans call Moors, conquered Iberia, now Spain and Portugal and southern France, and established in there the university system. And as I said before, it was not the first. The earliest of the Greeks were trained in a place called the subordinate lodge of Croton and Delphi. Subordinate lodges of the Grand Lodge in a place called Waset, which the Greeks later changed to Thebes or Thebes. The current Arabs changed it to Luxor. Where did you get that? In Greek philosophy. Did you get it in Greek history or European history? None whatsoever. And how did you get Hannibal Barca and his father, Hasdrubal Barca, and his brother, and his father, rather, Hamilcar, his brother, Hasdrubal? How did you receive it in the educational system? How did the textbook show it? It showed it as they were not Africans. What they said is some Phoenicians came from Phoenicia, and Carthage, which they later called Carthage, was in fact a Phoenician country. 80 people came from Phoenicia with a woman named Elisa, which Virgil called Dido or Dido in his little play about it. And those 80 changed all the Africans into Phoenicians. And thus we are taught that the Africans of Carthalis were in fact Caucasians.
And so we're taught the Africans were in fact Caucasians. And that's what I was saying at the opening of this. I'm discovering more and more that the pen is much more mighty than the sword. It is not just a saying. Our history can be taken from us with the swipe of a few pens and a couple of generations of teaching the new history. 516-620-3602. That's the voice of Dr. Yosef Ben Yohanan. He is an Egyptologist. He taught at Cornell University for 15 years. He was affectionately known as Dr. Ben. His theme was the ancient civilizations of Egypt, and his presentations place him in great demand because, again, he is very askew of the mainstream history. Dr. Ben and scholars like him have spent their time restoring what is African history. Literally, you think about this, he just talked about Hannibal. They simply draw a picture in a book differently and tell us that he was a European. And we all buy that. And here's the thing, it's not that we did anything wrong. We're not taught to challenge our teachers. One of the things that I love about the Jewish religion is inherent in the faith is the challenging of everything. You are encouraged to question. You are taught to question, but not in the Western school systems, not in American history classes. You are, in fact, demoted for asking questions or put aside for asking questions. You become a nuisance. And if you are a certain kind of person, you go off on your own and begin to study. My father reminded me that he fell out of love with religion when he was taught that black people were cursed with big lips and big feet and so on. And he turned to science because he was like, that doesn't make sense to me. And when he went to his minister and asked him, what does this mean? They didn't have an answer for him. They were like, there's some mysteries you can't understand. He's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to study some scientific mysteries in that case because this makes no sense to me. But this isn't just about religion. What I'm talking about here is history. What I'm talking about is science. What I'm talking about is Moses and the idea of Egypt. As you heard him talking about, Moses is an Egyptian. Period. The name Moses is an Egyptian name. And lest we forget again, Egypt is in northernmost Africa. You got to remember, folks, that because some Europeans, some Englishmen and Americans came in and drew lines on a map, or Germans and Dutch or whomever they were, doesn't change the reality of the people who were there in the land. I mean, we're used to looking at it as a map. When you go to those borders, there are no lands. There are no lines drawn there. There is just mountain and meadow meeting each other and peoples where they interact with each other. But the histories that we've been taught are quite different. So give us a call now, 516-620-3602. It's important to have a voice like Dr. Ben's in your collection because he is a preeminent scholar on these matters. And the mainstream has spent inordinate amounts of effort to discredit him, to discredit his research, and to discredit his work. And that's because history, again, has been written in a way that some of what he says may not, you know, may not be in the books that we use at the big institutions. But when you go to the sources, one of the things, I interviewed a man here named Harry Hubbard recently and back in February, and he said something very interesting. In the Americas, in the 1600s, or in this country, in North America, it was illegal to print any books. So what they did was all books, all manuscripts had to go back to England. You couldn't even have a printing press here initially. And so the histories of the governors of this country, all of them from the 1600s, were taken to England. Not a single one of them was published until 70 years plus after the death of the writers, most of them 100 years or more. Now, what do you think happened to the content in those 70 to 100 years? You venture not a guess if you're a scholar, but if you're a listener, you can certainly venture a guess to what might have happened. That's why Dr. Ben's voice is so important. A $125 pledge of support to WBAI. Get this African history pack in your collection. 516-620-3602. Make sure, folks, that you can teach your children the real history. Who was Hannibal? Who was this Moses that we read about? Who are these people? And why have they been whitewashed in our histories? And if you think that that's not the way it's done, I bring up the example again of movie after movie of Egyptians. Cleopatra is Elizabeth Taylor. Person after person, Gods of Egypt, this film comes out last year or earlier this year, and there ain't no black folks in it. What's wrong with this picture? Well, what's right with it is that it matches the history that they'd like for us to be taught. And you can see how the system works in concert. They teach us in school that these are white folks, and then they make a movie with white folks in it and say, this is your history. KRS-One said something very interesting. I did a radio program with KRS-One last summer, and he said, what they want us to believe is that our history begins in Virginia in 1621 as a slave, and it ends in the street in Ferguson at the end of a cop's gun. That's what they want us to think our history is. But we are a great peoples. We have magnificent histories that have been kept from us or been recolored, as it were. 516-620-3602. It's only a $125 pledge. We're not going to get anywhere near into the depths of this talk because it's over 2 hours long. We're sending you three DVDs. That is A Great and Mighty Walk by John Henry Clarke, an incredible piece outlining the journey from Africa to the Americas. We're going to send you this piece that you're listening to with Dr. Ben, and we're going to send you Zeitgeist, the movie, because it takes us through our religious stories, which we find earliest in Egypt. 516-620-3602. I need another five people on the line before we can go back to this talk from Dr. Ben. We really need you to step up to the plate and make those pledges of support this afternoon to WBAI. 516-620-3602. It is us doing this together. It's me coming in here and putting in these efforts. It's us bringing you this kind of material. It's you picking up your phone and dialing 516-620-3602. This way we do it together. WBAI, do not get it twisted, is a radio station that we create together. 516-620-3602. And now, Matt, back to the talk by Dr. Ben. Black man, wake up. This is not just for black folks. History doesn't have a color. This is our history for everyone. If world history has been changed for me, it's also been changed for you. And so it's important that we all get these histories corrected. 516-620-3602.
It's all right. When they taught me in school in Puerto Rico, I didn't need difference. I was born in Ethiopia, grew up in Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands, and Cuba, and Brazil. So when they were teaching me that at the University of Puerto Rico, I knew no different, and so it went down all right. But I accidentally went to Morocco, accidentally, and find that what I had been taught in school was nothing but a pack of lies. Because I then went into the temple, I then went into the museum and found that it was totally different. But then I went on to Italy, in the Medici Museum, the museum of Alessandro de' Medici, only to find that Alessandro was an African born in Italy. And no one had told me up to then that there were Roman emperors from Africa, such as Honorius and Septimus Severus and his son Caracalla. No one had taken time to explain to me anything about the Greeks coming to Egypt and to Nubia and to Ethiopia, depending on who they were, received their earliest education, those who had not gone to a little colony, a little enclave in what was then called Lebus, now called Libya, to receive their first glimpse into education taught by Africans. Well, having gone the route of civil engineering and with a bachelor's and then a master's in architectural engineering, you would think that I should be satisfied at that point. But I couldn't be satisfied because the fire had burnt. You see, I was the admirer of two particular people at that time. One called Booker T. Washington, one called Marcus Garvey. In the reverse, Garvey first and then Washington. Garvey, because in my household, Garvey was the word next to the deity. The relationship between Garvey and Booker T had become so close that I too followed the teachings and philosophical concept of the late Honorable Booker T. Washington. But within that philosophy was something else both men always taught. The integrity of the individual. And the integrity of the individual refused, in my case, to accept lies, such as Benny Goodman is the king of swing, and Duke Ellington must have been the emperor of swing. Chick Webb, having taught Gene Krupa, I was told that Gene Krupa is the best on the drum, but he went to Chick Webb to get to be the best on the drum. I don't know if you know Chick Webb, you know Ella Fitzgerald. That's Chick taught her. I just throw that in to show you that the lie doesn't stop in ancient time. It continues up to today as truth. So in my further examination, I was dealing with 3.14. All of you here in engineering knows what it's supposed to symbolize. They say it's pi. And I was taught that it came from the Greeks. And you know, I believed it. What else could I do? The teacher told me. And then when I went to Ethiopia and to Egypt and to Nubia, in the ancient records of the ancient Africans of the Nile Valley Africans, there was pi being used 2,000 years before there was such a place as Greece. The first writer of Greece that brought Greece into civilization, because they said the demarcation between uncivilized and civilized have to do with the time when you start writing history, they call it, prehistoric and historic. And Homer is the Greek first writer. And Homer said that even the concept of God, Zeus and Apollo, came from Ethiopia. So when you get in the Greek fraternities and sororities, just remember what Homer said. You must have dealt with the Iliad and the Odyssey by now. But again, I understand. You see, you have been taught by Alex Haley and others that your history started in the slave trade. But they don't even tell you how the slave trade started. They blame you for enslaving yourself. They say your ancestors sold you out. Nice statement. So I asked the guy, what country, what was the name of the king? Oh, don't worry about that, they sold you out. As if I don't know that the slave trade started with the Pope of the Roman Catholic Church by the name of Martin V. And Reverend Bartholomew de las Casas on the island of Hispaniola, now called Haiti and Santo Domingo. You see, you weren't made, nobody told you it's time to get sorry, to feel bad when some Haitians were being slaughtered on the coast of Florida. That's what it is. If you send a people back to sea on the condition where they were, that's genocide. But you see, you didn't feel anything because you weren't taught to realize that the Haitians are your brothers and sisters, because you don't know that the first Africans to be brought in slavery was not taken from Africa, but from Spain and carried to Haiti, then called Hispaniola, in 1506, under the aegis of the Pope of the Roman Church and Bartolomé de las Casas. But how did you get in Spain? That was 1506. But you went into Spain, which was then called Iberia, Spain and Portugal and southern France, as conquerors yourself in 711, under the leadership of Tariq, for whom the Rock of Gibraltar is now named Gibraltarik. Nothing in your education, because there's nothing in your textbooks about any of this. So you'll have to go to Spain. Luckily, at the University of Barcelona, where I attended for 2 years, there are these documents, and I had never known anything about them. I had known that the Africans called Moors had ruled Spain from 711 until 1485. The last of them losing power at a place called Granada. I was always wondering, why is it that 90% of all the songs coming out of Spain were singing to La Morena, the black woman? I said, how come in this country, 90% of all the songs, the records, the tapes, everything is La Morena this and La Morena that? It is when I went there, I found out La Morena raised hell in Spain. She's still raising hell in Montgomery, Alabama, and in Tuskegee, Alabama, and in Tuskegee Institute. I could look around and see her. Of course, the first one of you threw a good baseball and a good basketball, forget that she could raise hell. You don't want her for a wife anymore. You hit the numbers, you don't want her for a wife. Some of you forget she look like your mama. Sorry, fellas. Try one, it may be good for your health. But we must go back and ask ourselves, why is this so? And I said to the students today at the high school, even the paper you write on shows your heritage and your history. It was in Egypt, Ethiopia, and Sudan that the first papyrus paper was created, not rice paper in China. Just as it was in Egypt that engineering, Sesostris II, you are engineers, many of you, Sesostris II, changed the flow of the Nile. That S-turn you see there was placed there by African engineers in 2250 BC. There was no Jesus yet, no Adam and Eve story yet, because that came out of the Sanhedrin in 700 BC, just yesterday. When the African engineers was changing the flow of the Nile, hydrographic engineering, there was no Adam, no Eve yet, no Jehovah, because Abraham, the first Jew that brought out the concept of a Jehovah, wasn't even born. The Africans had already worshipped Ptah, P-T-A-H, Amun-Ra. You still say Amen at the end of each prayer, and they told you it means so be it. That's a lie. Amun was the god of the north. When Scorpio, the pharaoh, headed the north, and Egypt was divided into two groups, it had gone into a civil war. And Mena, Onama, was the king of the south, and his god was Ra. The conquest of Mena over Scorpion allow Mena to join God Amun with God Ra and call Amun Ra thousands of years before there was a Jehovah Jesus or Allah. Muhammad ibn Abdullah wasn't born until 570 of the Christian era. Pantheus and Voltaire that started Christianity wasn't born until 50 AD. According to the story. And Abraham, who started the concept of a God named Jehovah and Adam and Eve's story, wasn't born until 1760 BC. The Africans of Egypt and Ethiopia and Nubia were already in their 13th dynastic period.
Already in their 13th dynastic period. Folks, this is powerful. And we are not here to beat up Christianity. But what we are here to do is to restore our histories. And that's what Dr. Ben is doing right now. And you remember when you were taught all of this stuff in school, of course. Oh, wait, what? You weren't taught this stuff in school? That's what I thought. And that's why you're tuned right now to 99.5 FM WBAI. Because this is the university where you will be taught the real histories. 516-620-3602. That's Dr. Ben's Black Man Wake Up Talk. It's a part of our African History Pack. Get a hold of it. It includes that film. It includes the film Zeitgeist, the movie. It includes Dr. John Henry Clark's A Great Mighty Walk. It's about 6 hours of material for only a $125 pledge. Right now, we need 10 of you to get on the phone. We're going to get to a few more minutes of this, and there's 2 hours of it, so we can't get to all of it. But we're going to get to enough to pique your interest, to intrigue you, and to challenge what you've been taught. And it takes scholars like this who are outside of the mainstream to restore this history, because the mainstream has agreed. I mean, John Henry Clark makes a point where he said the Europeans at some point got together and agreed that if anybody's going to rule the world, it's going to be one of us. And it seems the other agreement was, if anybody's going to be great in history, it's going to be one of us. And so they either erased us, recolorized us, or simply written themselves into our history in many cases. And if you don't accept what I'm saying, challenge me, get a copy of this DVD, and challenge Dr. Ben as well. Do the research he's done and start to research for yourself and see what comes up that will absolutely shock you. Things that will absolutely take you aback. But that's why every donation is important. If there were commercials on the station, I guarantee you we could not present the voice of Dr. Ben on a regular basis. But because he is needed in the face of the white supremacy of Donald Trump, who would steal all of our histories in the face of the possibility of his sitting in the White House, we need to know right now what the truth of the matter is. And the truth is, we were and always have been involved in world history. The truth is also that we've rarely, if ever, been taught that reality. 516-620-3602. It's only a pledge of $125 for 3 DVD set. It's called the African History Pack. Call us. Restore our history, at least in your own home. And it's like the 100th monkey syndrome. As many of us begin to understand these things en masse, hopefully this knowledge will trickle out to others around us. Hopefully we can share this with classrooms. Hopefully we can share this with church groups. Hopefully we can share this with students. And hopefully we can share this with our own children and our siblings. I got to tell you, my own brother is one of the reasons that I've found this particular area of study so interesting. He has been studying these things for many years and keeps pointing me in the directions of Dr. Ben and professors like John Henry Clark and other great scholars who have done great work and simply are left out of the mainstream. But guess what, folks? We ain't mainstream. We're WBAI. And it's your pledges of support that keep us going, not commercial interests. And that's the very reason that Dr. Ben is allowed to be on the air with real history right now. 516-620-3602. Call that phone number. Call it now and pledge your support. We're going to give you a few more minutes of this speech, but while we're there, I need every one of you who are who's listening to call in and pledge that $125. We're talking about 6 hours of material, 3 DVDs. It's the African History Pack. Get a hold of it. John Henry Clark's piece, A Great Mighty Wall, takes us from Africa to the Americas. Dr. Ben goes through many of the names in history that you've been told were white folks and discovers indeed these were Africans. And of course, we've got Zeitgeist, the movie, which the first portion of that movie looks at our religion and discovers that much of it comes from the walls of the writings of Egypt. All of these are available to you for a pledge of just $125. If you want just this piece by John Henry Clark, you can pledge $75 for that, but I highly recommend you pledge at the $125 level and get all three of the discs. It's 6 hours of information, 516-620-3602. And now back to Dr. Ben.
That the Jews built the pyramids. Which one? The little one in their bathtub? There are 72 pyramids throughout Egypt. The first one was designed, engineered, and built by the multi-genius, first one known in the world, Imhotep. That was the third dynasty. The last one was the sixth dynasty, and the first Jew wasn't born until the 13th dynasty. You can't build a pyramid before you're born. But the myth and the lie continues. Now they're even making people from outer space build the pyramids from the top down. Those of you here are engineering knows how to build it from the top down. They took the first stone with some skyhook and connected to the cloud passing by. I'm not supposed to speak about these things. Oh, I'm supposed to be glad somebody give me a piece of goat skin with a thing on it that said PhD twice. And I'm supposed to be so good. I got one of the goat skin, PhD, all in Latin. Feel good, ain't it? Different person. My mother isn't my mother anymore. My father isn't my father anymore. Black folks are not related to me anymore. I'm Greek, Dutch, Japanese, whatever else. I am Rainbow Coalition now. I don't talk to my cousin anymore. They can't sit at my table at the college because I'm Abba Dabba Labba Labba fraternity. Oh, the things we go through. All to keep us from the Pan-African concept. You know, when I heard that in, I think it was Selma, Alabama, or Montgomery, that 6 little black girls were blown up. I heard you vote for the guy the other day. Blown up in a little temple, in a little Baptist temple. Tears ran down my eyes. Because my girls, I got 9, were blown up. When they were blown up. When they were blown up, mine, it was my children blew up. How could I sit in my living room in New York and felt comfortable knowing? You see, people don't want me to feel. If you kill one European Jew in Ushkush, because he is Jewish, the whole white Jewish community getting armed. But if you kill umpteen blacks, I am not supposed to say anything, otherwise I'm being racist. You see, they didn't tell you that there are black people who are Jews. So you say blacks and Jews are going to have a conference. Couldn't be blacks Jews too? Well, you never heard of the Falashas, the Ethiopian Jews.
And many of you have, but that's just a portion of the talk from Dr. Ben. It's called Black Men Wake Up, and I reiterate, this is not history for black people. History does not have a color. The reason that there is a system of study called black history is because we were eliminated from the history books, because we were told that Hannibal was a European, those sorts of things. You know, there's had to been a restructuring or replacing of that knowledge. There wouldn't be any need for a system of study called black history if there were a holistic look at history as it stands. But instead, there is some interest or force that has decided that it would take the accomplishments of black folks away and hide the great accomplishments of black civilizations. And that force has made this necessary. And that's why Dr. Ben is indeed necessary. 516-620-3602 is the phone number to call. Folks, we have got only 10 minutes left in this hour. Please call us and pledge your $125 to WBAI. Ask for the African History Pack. Dr. Ben is going to take you through it. He is going to take you through learning that Moses is indeed an Egyptian name and was indeed an Egyptian. He's going to take you through the idea of Hannibal and his father and son, all of those folks who came over the Pyrenees on elephants, that those people are over the, and that those people were Africans. But that isn't what's taught to us necessarily in our history books. That's changing a bit at this point. But Dr. Ben was on it well before the system decided that they needed to fix it. And it's scholars like Dr. Ben that force the system to adjust the lies they've been teaching us. Just 7 minutes left now for you to call 516-620-3602. When you call, ask for the African History Pack. It is 3 DVDs. It's This Talk by Dr. Ben. It is A Great and Mighty Walk by Dr. John Henry Clark. I can't say enough about the scope and the beauty of that piece, of that documentary. It's again produced by Wesley Snipes and has done incredibly well. We're also going to include for you the movie Zeitgeist, as in its first section, it looks at the founding of our religions and finds that they begin somewhere in Egypt. The second part of that film challenges our banking system, and the third part of that film challenges our mythology around the events of 9/11. All of these in a pack for you for a pledge of just $125. And this is really a bargain pack. The truth is, folks, normally this John Henry Clark DVD is offered to you for $100 by itself. But we wanted to make this pack a value for you. And so we are changing just for this pack that price and making it available at the pledge level with two other DVDs for $125. But for me, from my perspective, it's most important that you are able to restore what's been taken out of history. And again, the more I study, the more I discover that it's simply in the same way that Michelangelo's cousin posed for a picture of Jesus, that there are other people who pose as Africans in history. Not that Jesus was an African. That is not the illusion that I'm making. I'm simply saying that picture doesn't represent necessarily what that entity represents. 516-620-3602. Get a clearer picture of history, a clearer picture of the great dynasties in Africa, a clearer picture of the accomplishments of these folks. And again, we don't see need generally to challenge these things because what we're taught in school, we simply accept as rote. We don't challenge our teachers in this country very much. And there are certain institutions where that's encouraged. But overall, in our institutions, to challenge is to make oneself stand out. And then, of course, as the system's been set up in a way that your peers themselves will shut you down when you stand up to challenge because you seem like an outsider. But that's why you're tuned to WBAI, because you've learned that everybody ain't going to accept it the way you accept it, but you're going to be open to the challenge. And that's why we appreciate your listening, and we appreciate each of your pledges of support. Again, let's get it done. Just 5 minutes left. We're definitely needing at least another 10 callers, hopefully more than that, but let's get 10 of you at the very least pledging at that $125 level, 516-620-3602. If you find that your education is bereft of these images of Africans, of these realities of African civilizations, of these realities and these discoveries and scientific creations by black folks, here's one place to begin your search. That is with Dr. Ben, and that is with this African History Pack. 516-620-3602. Once again, that phone number, 516-620-3602, and two callers doesn't get it done. We need eight more of you now to join those people calling, pledging at that $125 level to say yes to WBAI, to say yes to supporting this station, to say yes to our history. They didn't have to kill us to take it. They just took a pen and rewrote it and taught it to generation after generation after generation until it's normalized and everyone simply believes it. But we have a gift for you, and it's called the African History Pack, and I want it to be in your home and for you to go through it and take your own time to research further. 516-620-3602. We have the kind of listeners that don't accept things simply because they hear them. Our listeners tend to challenge not only us, but the mainstream, and we appreciate that about you. It means that you're thinking and that you're intelligent, and please always challenge us. 516-620-3602, but before you challenge us, get the information into your home, study it, and begin to think for yourself. Begin to restore this history in your own home, in your own mind, for your own families. It's imperative that we do so ourselves. 516-620-3602. Thank you very much for listening, and thank you for your pledges of support to WBAI New York 99.5.
This is Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, encouraging you to register today for State of the Black World Conference 4, scheduled for November 16th through the 20th in Newark, New Jersey, hosted by Mayor Roz J. Baraka. One of the great national, international gatherings of black people in the 21st century, organized around the theme, It's Nation Time Again, Racial Healing and Collaboration for Black Empowerment, with Danny Glover, Susan Taylor, Dr. George Frazier, Dr. Julianne Malvo, Dr. Mark Lamont, Hill, Jaziri X, Nataki Cambone, and leaders of the Movement for Black Lives, the Global Reparations Movement, and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's State of the Black World Conference 4, November 16th through the 20th in Newark, New Jersey. For further information and to register today, visit the website ibw21.org. That's ibw21.org, or call 888-774-2921.
Sego, this is John Kane from Let's Talk here on WBAI. On Wednesday, October 26th at 7 p.m., I will be screening Warrior, The Life of Leonard Peltier, the film by Susie Baer, at the Brooklyn Commons at 388 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. With only a few months left of the Obama administration, this is Leonard's last shot for freedom from his over 40 years as America's most famous political prisoner. Join me, Susie Baer, and some of those who have worked for years for Leonard's freedom, and learn the truth of his life, the conflicts that led to his charges, and the sham of a trial that would steal 40 years from him. You can also learn how to put pressure on Barack Obama in his final days in office to grant clemency to Leonard Peltier in his final days on Earth. The screening is free, but we will take donations as a part of WBAI's fall fund drive. Nyawa Goa, and I'll see you there Wednesday night at 7 p.m. at the Brooklyn Commons.
Hi, this is Nando from WBAI's Con Sabor Latino. Please continue to support WBAI by joining us for our annual Salsa Dance fundraiser at SOB's on Friday, November 11th. The four great bands with special guests that are confirmed are Jimmy Delgado and his orchestra, Conjunto Sabor featuring WBAI's own Chico Alvarez, Arturo Ortiz and Siete Con Calle, and the new Swing Sextet, who, by the way, will receive a WBAI Con Sabor Latino Lifetime Achievement Award. We'll also honor Willie Torres, the original lead vocalist and only founding member of the iconic Joe Cuba Sextet, alive today. Please join us for this historic WBAI Salsa Dance Fundraiser at SOB's on Friday, November 11th. For more information, visit WBAI.org, SOBS.com, or call 212-243-4940.
I'm Ken Gale, host of Ecologic on Tuesday evenings. I'm speaking the day before Halloween on how you can save money and help save the earth at the same time. How we use energy is harmful to the planet, wasteful, and expensive for ourselves, even though there have been solutions for decades. I'll go into detail on the problems and the solutions. No to poison power, fossil fuel, and nuclear. Yes to efficiency and renewable energy. That's Sunday, October 30th, 11 a.m., on the fourth floor of the New York Society for Ethical Culture, which is on the corner of 64th Street and Central Park West. Free admission. WBAI's environmental show Ecologic is on every other Tuesday evening. Listen to scientists, activists, authors, and other experts discuss public policy and give you information on topics such as climate change, air, water, environmental justice, energy, both poisonous and renewable, healthy food, wildlife, transportation, green buildings, and of course, connections with other issues. You'll always find out what you can do to make the environment better, and every show starts with news and announcements on environmental actions. With your host, Ken Gale, every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is Tate Church for Your Health. We have a special show today, and that show is in support of our very own WBAI. We're working on it right this second as we speak, and what it is I'm sharing with you a very unique method of pain relief with our epidemic of pain that we're seeing in our society, with the epidemic of addiction to pain drugs, with the side effects of pain drugs, with the relationship to pain that we see that is a relationship to suppression rather than healing pain. We need a new paradigm. We need to look at this as a problem, but not from a drug perspective, okay, so but from the perspective of a healer. And that's what I've brought to you today. Dr. Hal Blattman, we will be going to him live and talking with him about how he approaches pain and about the book that he's put together for us, for the public to deal with pain. The Winner's Guide to Pain Relief. There's a lot to learn here, folks, and there's a lot of sharing that's going on. We'll be right back. I'm here today with my favorite co-host,
Carol Peterson.
And I'm Corrine Fenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and we're here working for our favorite radio station. It is a fundraiser today, and it's time to show our appreciation. It's a beautiful day, one of those hot, beautiful, delicious dog days of summer, where all you want to do is sit in the shade with a fan on you and listen to the radio. And here we are with a phenomenal show. Someone you probably, unless you're involved in holistic medicine very intensely, have never heard of, with a therapy that you're not familiar with either. Carol, do you want to introduce the...
Doctor, we're going to be interviewing Dr. Hal Blattman. Dr. Blattman has devised some therapy to treat the fascia of the body. And this is quite interesting. The fascia is sort of a collagen-based matrix that covers every inch of your whole body. And when you have a pain in one place, it actually might be another place in your body that's involved as well. And that communication in the fascia will cause that pain to be referred. So sometimes it's very difficult. I wonder, Corinne, could you give Dr. Blattman's background?
Well, Dr. Blattman is orthopedic, and he began as an orthopedic surgeon, and he was working with pain, but from a whole other level in terms of surgery to adjust the body and in terms of suppressing agents, steroids, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, and he looked up and found that people weren't getting well. They weren't getting well. They were being suppressed, sometimes effectively, sometimes not as effectively, but they weren't getting well. And he began to look at the body from a totally different perspective. Now, he wrote a book that, let me step back. There is a doctor who has died many years ago, and her name is Janet Travell. And Janet Travell mapped a system of understanding pain through trigger point pain and mapped a system that really changed our relationship to understanding of pain. Well, based on that is his base, and with that understanding, he has developed his own system. He teaches it throughout the country to doctors, and he's written a book, and the book is very specifically related to lay people so they can understand pain. This epidemic of addiction to pain meds is outrageous. What are pain meds doing? They're suppressing symptoms. There has to be a new paradigm. People have to step into that void. We can't have our country, literally our country, addicted to pain medicines to be able to partially function throughout the day. So we need to understand what is going on. And that was one of Dr. Blattman's realizations. And as a result, he wrote a book. And this book took him many years to write. He started it, and then, this was the old days, his computer crashed. He had it almost completely done, and everything disappeared. It was amazing. And so he said, well, maybe I wasn't supposed to write that book. And then he kept on seeing patients, and he looked at his patient population. He said, people need this book. They need to be able to address pain in their own home. They need to understand pain differently. They need to approach pain without suppressive agents and then turn it around. Because here he's seen all these surgeries, all these steroids, all these non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, all these codeine derivatives that weren't addressing the problem. So he wrote the book, The Art of Body Maintenance, A Winner's Guide to Pain Relief. And the subtitle is Finding Relief from Fibromyalgia, Myofascial Pain, Headache, Carpal Tunnel Syndrome, Arthritis, and Sport Injuries by Dr. Hal Blattman. And he created this system. Now, he also has something else. And so this is our premium today, this book, The Art of Body Maintenance, A Winner's Guide to Pain Relief, and how we can deal and with pain and understand pain from a totally different perspective. But then there's one other piece of this. You're going to laugh, Carol, but you know about this.
Yeah, people will say, what?
Exactly. What does he give you instead of a prescription for pain meds?
He gives you a ball.
A what?
A ball.
A hard ball. And he teaches you how to use that to, in your own home, break up these knots and these conglomerate of pulled, bound muscle and fascia that are creating the pain, sometimes not even in the area that you think the pain is coming from. So it's very, very interesting. So I would like to go directly to the interview. What do you think, Carol?
I think it's time to stop tantalizing everybody and starting to get into the meat. But before we start, let's just say, if you're one of these early responders, and I hope you are out there, you can get the book and the ball for a premium donation to WBAI for a $90 donation or more. Nothing to prevent you from or more. And you can call and reserve your book and ball at 516-620-3602.
That's 516-620-3602. Go on.
Okay, and what else can they do?
They can go on to WBAI.org and go to Give to WBAI, click on, and this premium is registered. You can click on the premium. You can donate to support this program and donate to support WBAI. And you know what? No more Mr. Nice Guy. We want every donation that we can. Something as small as $25, we really appreciate that. Because when we see that, we know that you're giving what you can to a basic membership that in the last 15 years, the price has not gone up. It's in $50 to our premium, $90, which I really hope you take advantage of, right down to $1,000 pledge to WBAI. I know you're out there. I know you can. We need your support. So we're going right to the program, The Art of Body Maintenance, A Winner's Guide to Pain Relief. And we'll be right back. Enjoy. Good afternoon. We've had various talks on the danger of pain suppression and some even on pain management. And I have been working with a doctor who works by identifying the cause. This is a unique relationship because it's not dependent on steroids, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, or OxyContin. So many of the pain management programs that we see are about suppression of pain. But this system is not about suppression, is not about narcotics, is not about non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, but it's a method that you can learn and use in your own home to relieve chronic and acute pain syndromes. So rather than just speak about it myself, I've invited my teacher, mentor, Dr. Hal Blattman here to explain his method to you. So this is the beginning of a series on pain management and how we at home and with holistic practitioners trained in this method of pain relief can get out of the pain trap and begin to live our life again. So listen, learn, and enjoy. And we're speaking with Dr. Hal Blattman. Hal Blattman, a nationally recognized specialist in pain, myofascial pain, and co-author of The Art of Body Maintenance, The Winner's Guide to Pain Relief, a reference for treating myofascial pain from migraines to all the way to the tip of our feet to plantar fasciitis. So he's credentialed in pain management and board certified in occupational and environmental medicine and integrative holistic medicine. He also studied toxicology and environmental medicine, and he's combined this accumulated knowledge in an amazing book. It is on pain relief. So if you experience pain, or if you know anybody who does, which I can't imagine you don't, you're going to be very interested in this. Welcome, Dr. Blattman, and thank you for being here with us to share this time with our listeners.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here. It's such a wonderful pleasure to be able to share this information with you and with all the people who listen.
Pain is so prevalent in our society. It's so debilitating, and it's so often misdiagnosed, switched from something we experience to something we're thinking. Yet, for years, there was the fibromyalgic pain that really wasn't even acknowledged, and then when it was acknowledged, it's treated with heavy-duty painkillers that don't benefit the patient and interfere with their life. What is your relationship to pain? What's a new look?
We have a new look about pain, and we've learned some things about pain that really change how we've thought about it for all the years that we've practiced medicine. When I was trained, we were taught the same things that everybody else knows. We were taught about inflammation and pain. We were taught about discs and nerves and spine. And what we've learned is that most pain comes from injury to the body. Most persistent pain comes from the body is still injured and hasn't healed. We haven't learned in medicine how to find injuries, how to heal those injuries, help the body through those injuries to where it can reach a state of not being in pain. We need to look at pain an entirely different way than what we were taught when we went through school.
So how did you come about this new understanding?
I learned about muscle pain and myofascial pain first with head and neck pain from a dentist who walked into my urgent care office back in the early 1980s, asked me if I had ever heard of TMJ syndrome, and he proceeded to teach me about structures of fascia injury in the mouth and about the head and neck that caused pain in the jaw, head, neck, headache, migraine. And I never looked at headache again the same way. And even to today, I don't look at headache the way we were taught. When we went through school, migraines were just a really bad headache, made you throw up. And once all that happened and the bells and lights and whistles went away and the headache was over, you knew you had a migraine. And the classifications of migraines have gone way beyond that to cluster headaches and variations on this and that. And really, when the final analysis, most headaches don't come from your head. The pain isn't coming from your head. And you can't believe where you think you feel the pain.
Well, that's interesting.
That's rule one of our five rules of trying to figure out and playing CSI to try and figure out where is your pain coming from.
And what are the other four rules?
First rule is you can't believe where you think you hurt. For example, headaches don't come from your head. And pain in your left arm might come from your heart attack. And the lower back pain that you've done so many things for so many years, one of the reasons all those things might not work is the pain in your lower back might not be coming from your lower back, no matter what you see on that X-ray or MRI scan. The second rule of these five is that you can't believe what you think the pain feels like. We were taught in medical school that there's a difference between numbness and tingling and burning and aching and cramping and on and on and on. And truth be known, for the most part, the brain cannot tell the difference between burning, tingling, itch, tickle, aching. Cramping you can tell because the muscle comes into a cramp. But otherwise, you really can't tell. The brain can't really differentiate those sensations. So their distribution, what part of the body feels them, is important. But exactly what they feel like often leads doctors astray to think that numbness and tingling has to come from nerve, or burning has to come from nerve, and we're finding that the brain confuses those sensations.
Well, that's interesting. The next rule?
The third rule has to do with when we were taught anatomy, we were taught that tendons attach to bone. And truth be known, with modern fascia-sparing techniques of dissection, modern anatomists have learned that tendons do not attach to bone. And in fact, the strings or fibers of our fascia that go through our muscle and come together to form a tendon interweave with the fascia or periosteum that covers the bone. And when we pull really hard or strain muscle or ligament or tendon, we interrupt or disrupt this weave. And as a result, some of the strings of our fascia slip, and the nerves in between those strings read that slip and transmit a radiating, burning pain to the brain. And these fascia strings connect you from one end of your body to the other, so the ones in your thigh don't stop at your knee. The ones in your gluteal muscles don't stop where they attach to the hip bone. Where these weaves are injured remains tender. And when these weaves are injured, the fascia strings that are in the muscle wind into a knot that we call a trigger point. So what you can totally believe is rule three. You can totally believe that where you're tender is either a knot in your muscle and fascia, or it's where the fascia is injured, where it attaches and holds you together. So the way you find out where your injuries are to specifically and very carefully touch the fascia and texture of your body and feel where the trigger points are, where the ropey bands are, and where these ropey bands meet and hold on to your body. And that brings us to rule number four. The things that are most tender generate most of the pain. So if somebody's lying on my exam table and I push on your lower back for lower back pain, and your lower back isn't nearly as tender as the structures that I might push on in your buttocks muscle, for example, then the injuries that's causing your lower back isn't coming from your lower back as much as it is coming from your hip muscles and the muscles that help you stand and run and walk and get up from a chair. And the only way to figure that out is to touch.
And it's a deep palpation. It's a deep palpation.
It's a very careful and very specific palpation.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to rule number five. What we've learned is that when we help the body repair, these trigger points make them go away or make the pain they generate subdue, and we help the fascia repair where it's attached, where it's been injured. We watch tremendous pain patterns go away that have been present for a long, long time. And it doesn't matter whether these pain patterns are called migraine or headache or foot pain or even fibromyalgia and consume or command most of the body. We're still looking at injuries to fascia as one of the foundations for the cause of chronic pain.
So what is the difference between fibromyalgia, which seems to be more pervasive throughout the body, and myofascial pain? Are they one and the same?
They're not one and the same.
Okay.
In my opinion.
They're very often used
fibromyalgia.
These terms are very often used simultaneously.
Yes, they are. And I've even heard people diagnosed as fibromyalgia of the shoulder, and that just does not happen.
Okay.
So I would say that I've never seen a person with fibromyalgia who does not have myofascial pain, and I've seen many people with myofascial pain who do not have fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like, we can talk about, I have some interesting views on what is fibromyalgia.
I would love to hear that. Well, Carol, I want to hear about fibromyalgia, don't you?
Yes. I think it's incredible that in this day and age, these issues of chronic pain are all over the place. And I'd like to just divert for a minute because of some of the background information. You alluded to this in the introduction. We are sitting in a very, very dangerous situation. The number of people using prescription narcotics for their pain has exploded, but also equally exploding is the number of deaths caused by these narcotic drugs.
And non-steroidal anti-inflammatories.
Those too. And what else is happening is that sometimes people are getting cut off from their pain relievers, from their doctors, and they're going to the streets. So what's also happening is an explosion in the use of heroin. And accompanying that explosion in the use of heroin is another whole slew of deaths. And then as you mentioned, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, Advil, Naprosyn, and all those, it's documented with the FDA, 10 to 11,000 people die per year with the stomach irritation produced by those drugs. I'd like to insert one more thing. All drugs that are from opioids, morphine, codeine, the heroin, cocaine even, all of these that are derived from the opium poppy, suppress testosterone.
Oh, no.
You're unable to make testosterone. And the lower the testosterone, the worse the pain is. So then you use a pain reliever of an opioid nature from the opium poppy, and you suppress your testosterone even more. So the solution worsens
the problem.
So that, you get into this really, really downward spiral that many, many doctors don't even recognize. And then to make it even worse, testosterone is the hormone that your body needs to repair its structure. It's the director of all new protein in your body to restore the injured parts. So not only if your pain is of an origin that needs repair, and that's almost all of the time, you're also knocking out your body's ability to repair. So we are in a crisis situation. The FDA is, as we speak, taking more and more steps to try to discourage and bring down the use of opioid drugs. But not only do people do not know, but their practitioners do not know. There are other pain solutions. So this program is hands down so important. It's a window into possibilities for what you can do.
Carol, that was amazing, and I just want to remind the audience, you are a pharmacist. That's
yes.
What you study is chemical pathways and how they affect the body and how they're creating balance or imbalance. And this is very direct, straight from the pharmacist's mouth. And this is an important concept. See, it comes back to the title of our show. And it's called Take Charge of Your Health. We cannot look to drugs to eliminate pain. It doesn't eliminate pain. It suppresses pain. But it suppresses pain ineffectively. That, as Carol explained, amplifies the pain once you're off of the drug. So you're caught in a downward spiral. And only by looking at a new paradigm, and that's what we're doing here with Dr. Blattman, we're looking at a new paradigm. It's a beautiful paradigm, because what does it give you? It gives you a new level of power that allows you to deal with acute and chronic pain in your own home, but also with a practitioner who understands this method. How many years have we been talking about fibromyalgia and the pain of fibromyalgia? And he's saying this method can handle that. It can pull you out of that chronic pain syndrome. It's interesting, you know, that little ball you were talking about. And I'm going to tell the audience it's a yellow ball.
Okay.
That little yellow ball, so people can visualize it, it's clear. He sees patients, they come in and they have pain. And they say, oh, my pain is in my back. And he palpates and it's going to be explained. He's going to explain. It's a very specific and almost a slow palpation to find the source of the pain. So here someone's got pain in their back and he touches the back and he pushes on the back left and right. There's no response. And yet they have this band on their back that's so tight they can barely stand up. And they've been to other orthopedic doctors. They've gotten steroid shots and this band has gone away. So he's palpating the leg, he's palpating the calf, he's palpating the calf, the buttocks, and he hits a point and people go, ow, oh, wow, 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 wow. So he finds that spot and he treats it. He injects it. He injects it not with steroids. He injects it with homeopathics and Novocaine. And the end result is he's injecting in the leg and people sit up and they say, well, I came here for my back. And he looks at them and he said, well, do you still have back pain? And they go, no. And he gives them the ball and he teaches them how to use it. And here they're expecting the steroid shot and a prescription for some form of pain blocker. They receive a ball, an injection in their thigh, and they walk out the door out of pain. Now, that's pretty miraculous. This is a new paradigm. And in understanding this paradigm, this could change the life of not everyone. This is not 100%. Nothing is 100%. Neither are steroids 100%. But this could change the life of a very large percentage of people who are in pain
and dependent on drugs.
It's a very exciting new look at healing. And we're looking, and when I said healing, I didn't mean removal of pain. I meant healing. The book that we're dealing with is The Art of Body Maintenance, The Winner's Guide to Pain Relief, Finding Relief from Fibromyalgia, Myofascial Pain, Headache, Carpal Tunnel Syndrome, Arthritis, and Sports Injuries. This is really dramatic, and I just hope that you get this as a premium. You support WBAI. You get the book and the ball sent directly to you, and you learn this method. I have a patient who came in who had extreme hip pain. Extreme. Now, I am working with Dr. Blattman. I am studying his method also. And she came in with extreme hip pain. When I felt her legs and her buttocks, it felt like I was feeling bone. It was just
really
amazing.
All
it,
of these hard knots that you can feel in the tissue.
And just rubbing her buttocks or pushing on her buttocks, pushing on her thigh, she would cry out in pain. And I started working on those areas, and now she's crossing her legs. Her hip pain has reduced from a 10 now down to a 2, and many days a 0, which is miraculous. And I feel her legs and her buttocks, and they're soft, just completely soft. I can't find a knot any longer. And
awesome.
She is healing. No matter what I had done to the hip to help it, if I hadn't been dealing with these other areas, she wouldn't have progressed, because those other areas were such severe spasm. They would have held her in position that would not have allowed her to heal. And this is what I learned from Dr. Blattman. And this is what I see in my patients. And this is what he sees in his patients. And now, the next part of the program, he will be explaining about fibromyalgia. The number to call is 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602, or go on the internet, type in WBAI.org, and go to Give To, and the premium is on the website. You can click on the premium. You can donate
$90 and receive the premium, which is the book, Winner's Guide to Pain Relief by Dr. Hal Blattman, with the ball, this very unique, special hard ball that you use to work out the knots and the spasms.
Mm-hmm.
You can donate the amount for a membership, which is $50, which hasn't gone up in 15 years. And you could donate $1,000 and support this program, support this radio station. Amazingly, it would be such a help to this program, to this station, to have you appreciate and give what you can to support WBAI.
You know, I've said many times, Carol, the books that we have offered over the years, if people availed themselves of these books, of these packets that we put together, they'd have a master's degree in nutritional science. It's astounding. And this is right up there with the best of the best. Carol?
I'd like to mention a couple of things, Corinne. Just going back a little bit, as you introduced Dr. Blattman, you talked about Dr. Janet Travell. And Janet Travell was a pioneer in identifying these areas of the body where an injury had taken place, and she called them trigger points. And your body has this mechanism to try to protect that injured area and can become fibrotic and hard points, as you so described. So she was really quite famous in her day while she was alive. I wanted to bring out that she treated Robert Kennedy.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Robert Kennedy was
known
to have considerable pain with his back, and she was one of the White House physicians to try and relieve the pain by breaking up these trigger points. Dr. Blattman's work is based on her pioneering work. I just want to point out that she is quite well known in some circles for this type of work.
And so is Dr. Blattman. He's very well known. Doctors from all over the country come to study with him to learn and refine their techniques with his method of pain relief. Pain relief, pain cures that he's working with daily. It's really exciting. I'm very excited to be able to watch him The number to call, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Call and show your appreciation for what we give. It's priceless. Carol?
I'd like to bring out another point. Just to reemphasize that you have been training with Dr. Blattman, that you've seen these things happen firsthand, and that you've done some of these therapies on patients that have come to you. This is direct experience. I think people should appreciate this is not just getting something from a book. This is hearing it from not only Corinne with her direct experience, but as Dr. Blattman's talking about his experience. It's the real deal. And one of the things I'd like to ask you, Corinne, the book, and when you work with a patient, is somebody done, or is it, are they sent home with some exercises with the ball, with the book, to help this healing process go on? And is this, the book we're talking about, The Winner's Guide to Pain Relief, is this a user-friendly book that people can at least get started, even if they don't have the advantage of seeing Dr. Blattman or you directly? Can they help themselves? To what degree are you supporting your treatments with some of the exercises in a book? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Very much so, Carol, because this book was written by Dr. Blattman specifically so people could take the information that he has learned through years of experience and the information that Dr. Travell, this amazing pioneer, and put it together so people could take this home and get the benefits. It was specifically designed for the lay public with the most advanced information on how to break up these pain centers and what to do about it. So with this severe crisis, epidemic crisis of pain in this country, with addictions of pain suppressants, it's very important we look at a new paradigm. It's essential. It's not even important. It's essential. It's essential for our health, our wellness, and the quality of our life and survival. Because I can promise you, there's not one of us that hasn't been touched by pain or will not be touched by pain as we age. And there's not one of us that don't have someone dear to us who has chronic and severe pain. And two people together can do this even more effectively than just one. Sometimes there's areas, but Dr. Blattman shows you how to sit on the ball, how to lie on the ball, how to push that ball into those knots to break them up, and how to do it appropriately for your threshold of pain. The number to call, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Give us a call. Get the book. It's $90 for the book and the ball. Start healing yourself right now. Let's hear what Dr. Blattman has to say about fibromyalgia. Because that, up to now, what is it treated with? Lyrica? It's really not a terribly effective treatment at this point.
It's not a drug shortage problem.
It's not, definitely not a drug shortage problem. Okay, we're going to go to the interview. Please keep... Well, here we are again. We are on live. I've cut into this program and to be able to share with you and to be able to bring on Dr. Blattman so he can explain some of his therapy and how it's working in patients. And I found this. I was very excited to be able to do this. Dr. Blattman, are you here?
Yes, I am. Hi there, Corrine. How are you?
Hi. Welcome. Thank you so much for being here with us. We're here. We're working for WBAI. We're working for Take Charge of Your Health. And we're working, really, to show people that there is something that they can do about pain. They can do it in their home. They can do it themselves with the support and knowledge of the book, your book, called The Winner's Guide to Pain Relief. And we're making that available to the listening audience. And so far, we've gotten a wonderful response. So, Dr. Blattman, I wondered, because, you know, it's such a different concept that we can deal with pain on our own, that we could move in there and be effective and not need drugs. I wondered if you would come on. I invited you on to help us understand and maybe look at some of the results you're getting and some of the patients you're working with, and so we can have a better understanding of what this really means to us.
You know, thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you so much for having me on the show. We can do so much for the pain that we have. If we wake up in pain we didn't have last night, we think that that pain might have fallen down from the sky, but pain does not fall down from the sky. There's something we did yesterday that caused that pain to increase. Most likely, it's more likely that pain was food than was physical activity.
Really?
And then when it comes to making that pain decrease, most of us, all we think we can do is go to the store and find some medicine, or go to the doctor and get some medicine, or crawl under a rock and pray to God and wait for the pain to go away. But contrary to that, there's so much we can do physically to our own bodies, to change our bodies, to help get ourselves out of pain so much more quickly. We don't have to wait for it to happen. We can take a much more aggressive approach, knowing that the pain comes from not magic, but the fascia or tissue that holds us together that's been injured, and our muscles generate so much of the pain that we would call headache and migraine and cluster and plantar fasciitis and even more obscure diagnoses, bladder pain, interstitial cystitis, pelvic pain. So much of this pain comes from the fascia injuries that have happened through our lifetime, and so much of it can be made better by things that we can do ourselves before we even go to the doctor.
Well, and that is explained in your book, in Pain Relief?
Yes.
Winner's Guide to Pain Relief? Could you give us some examples of that? Could you help us with examples?
Sure. Most everybody who has headaches has really tight muscles and knots and ropey, tender muscles in our upper shoulders, across the tops of our shoulders, in the back and sides of our neck.
So many.
And we're told that our headache. Yes, and we're told that our headache is migraine.
You touch someone on their shoulder and they go, ouch, ouch, ouch. No, we see that all the time.
And somebody rubs on those muscles and massages them, and you feel better for a while until those muscles tighten back up and your pain comes back. And we call that pain migraine or cluster or tension. Various forms of headaches, but they're all variations on the same theme. And what we find is that if we can make those muscle knots go away and break up those ropey muscles so that blood flow can get into the muscle again and change the inflammatory state of the body by decreasing how much inflammatory food we eat, we can watch a lot of this pain disappear almost like it was never there in the first place.
That's pretty exciting. That's very exciting. Now, how would we in our homes go about doing that? Can you give us an idea?
Well, first you can start to learn about inflammatory foods and what foods should be taken out of your diet. And second, you can look at this book, see where the pain patterns are from the muscles, and then take this rubber ball that allows you to massage muscles you can't reach, muscles in your back, muscles over your shoulder blade, muscles over your butt, be able to massage those muscles without having to have any strength in your hands. And then as you make these ropey knots and your muscles smaller by massaging them, the pain they cause decreases. And as that decreases, you feel better.
It's interesting and quite revealing when you palpate or when you feel the muscle and you come to that knot. It literally is. It's like a little golf ball in there, depending. And you can feel it. And then when you touch it, the response that you get from the patient, or if you're touching yourself, the feeling that you get, it can radiate up the leg into the back, and can radiate down to the toes, and it's just a little ball there that you can feel on the side of your leg. And at home, we can break that up?
Yes, we can. And it turns out that most of the pain we feel in our body comes from these fascia injuries and the knots in our muscles that these injuries form or cause over our lifetime. And at some point, that becomes more critical and we start to hurt. We can break them up ourselves and we can make some of this pain go away. That makes us so much more powerful than sitting around and waiting, taking a over-the-counter medicine and just waiting and praying for it to go away on its own. We can take a much more active part. And then we can learn how to prevent the pain from coming back by doing these routine massage exercises every single day, even when we don't hurt.
And what we see there is that people begin, and what I see and what I've seen with Dr. Blattman's patients and I've seen it in my practice, is that people become full functioning again. You know, there's nothing more debilitating than pain. And it steals the sufferer. It steals part of their life away. It steals some of the joy of their life away. So now, is this pain across the board? Is there a specific type of pain that this method works for? Or can we look at it in more broad terms?
I really think it should be looked at in more broad terms. It may not be anybody's complete answer. Certainly not. But there isn't anybody who hurts that their fascia and muscles aren't at least part of their pain, that the inflammatory response from the food they eat isn't at least part of their pain. If you can make 25% of your pain go away, is that an improvement in your life? If you can make 75% go away, isn't that an improvement of your life? So it's very unusual that people do this work, learn this, and get zero improvement. I'd be quite surprised by that. So we expect improvement. We just don't know how much. And part of it depends on how much the person who's trying to get out of pain is willing to do. If you're still drinking diet soda and you know that diet soda causes your pain, you're not going to have as much success as the person who stops drinking it, for example.
Well, can I brag a little bit about you?
Oh, please. And then let's talk about joints.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I sent a patient to Dr. Blattman, a gentleman with severe shoulder pain. And he had been offered as his only option surgery. But even within that option, the orthopedic surgeons, who were very responsible, told him that they really didn't know how effective this was going to be. And he went to Dr. Blattman, and he was taught this method. Actually, some was done in the office, but the majority of it was what he took home and did himself. And the end result is now he's my patient, so I called Dr. Blattman to see how his next couple of visits went and how's he doing, because I had heard that he was doing slightly better. And Dr. Blattman told me, well, he didn't come back for that last visit. And I said, he didn't come back. And Dr. Blattman said, he called and said he was better and he didn't need to come back. So the majority of this work that turned him around was done in his home. And he could have gained some of this knowledge, or a large portion of this knowledge, through the book, The Winner's Guide to Pain Relief. And that, to me, is a little bit of magic. Thank you, Dr. Blattman.
That's true, and he was able to do this on his own using that rubber ball. He came in for a private lesson, but the do-it-yourselfer may be able to learn how to do this from the book.
So you were going to talk about joints?
Yes. You know, there are so many people who walk around thinking, I'm trying to save my joint. My doctor has told me I'm going to need a new joint, and my cartilage and my joint are bone on bone. And there's so much that we need to learn about that, and so much that we can do ourselves to help. For example, most people don't know that if you can bend your knee 90 degrees, there is no possible way that your joint is bone on bone.
That.
Let me repeat that.
Yes.
If your joint moves well enough to bend 90 degrees, no matter what your x-ray and doctor have told you, it is not possible that your joint is bone on bone. Having said that, it's also true that it only takes 2 or 3 cell layers thickness of cartilage to help the joint move without pain. And there is no way an x-ray is going to be able to see something as thin as 2 or 3 cell layers of cartilage. So the joint is going to look like it's bone on bone. But it's not. The next part is to know that all of us grow cartilage in every joint in our body every minute of every day to restore what our body endures from daily wear and tear of walking around, riding your bike, walking up and down stairs.
That's another very, very interesting statement, because when I was in school years ago, I was told that cartilage doesn't repair itself.
But the body restores every cell, every layer, every organ. We grow new skin every several days. We grow a new lining of our intestines every 2 or 3 days. Why wouldn't we grow joint cartilage? And don't we wear it out? And doesn't it sustain wear and tear just like skin and all the other organ systems of our body? So it makes sense that would repair also. However, there are 2 things that we do to ourselves that make our cartilage not grow and not repair. And one of them is nicotine in our blood, and the other one is non-steroidal anti-inflammatory medications like ibuprofen that prevent something we call glycosaminoglycan synthesis, and we do not repair our cartilage as well. It's interesting that the medication we take over the counter and that is prescribed by our physicians for our joint pain increases the deterioration of the joint and gets us ready for a joint replacement a little faster.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we teach people to stop those medications and do things that help wear and tear the cartilage a little slower and rebuild it a little faster. So we actually use a combination of many methods to help restore the cartilage in a worn-out joint and help prevent you from needing to get your joint replaced. It does not always work, but it certainly gives you a chance at preserving a joint that has a range of motion you're still comfortable with.
So I want to thank you so much. I know you're seeing patients right now, and I know you took time off to be able to speak with us, but I just felt that people would understand it better from you, and I really want to thank you. I want to thank you for your donation to WBAI of the Winner's Guide to Pain Relief and the balls. I want to thank you for the time, and thank you for the interview that we did. And we will be coming back to you. We've got lots more to learn on this subject. So thank you, Dr. Palatman. Could you give out
You have our location and our phone numbers?
Can you give us out your phone number, please, and location?
Sure. Our location in Manhattan is 20 East 46th Street, 7th floor. It's on 46th between Madison and 5th. The phone number to contact us is through our Cincinnati-based office, 513-956-3200. And to call me directly and leave a message, 513-685-3062.
Now, could you give that phone number one more time? And then I wanted
sure.
to announce a little bit of a surprise to the audience.
A contact number, our Cincinnati base office, where you can leave a message and get in touch with us, is 513-956-3200. At an office where you can leave a message directly from me, the phone is 513-685-3062.
So the little bit of a surprise that I'm going to be announcing is that we are, and Dr. Blattman actually, and I, will be giving a class on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at the office. Now, this will be given to randomly to 15 people who support WBAI and who take advantage of the premium. How would you like a class with Dr. Blattman? I'll tell you, if you're a practitioner, you should sign up.